Hello. We heard and sang about God's goodness. We read the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We read, my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. God is so good. And we should think of him as good, underscored there with a surely at the end of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's because we have a good shepherd. He says he's good, and the Lord is my shepherd. Praise God. And he is so good. I was reading not long ago, it came to me when you mentioned goodness, a wonderful passage about God's goodness. It says this: when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, and he saved us. Wonderful Savior. God is so good. This morning I had to do an errand. I was out early driving on the Northway, and I started thinking, maybe I should recite some things that I had memorized before as I was driving along. And the thing that came to me was, try to say Psalm 32. Years ago at home, my father had us memorize Psalm 32. And I know there are 11 verses there, and I was going to try to say them, and I couldn't. I couldn't put them in order. And as I tried to put them in order, I just kept saying the beginning. I had no problem with the first few verses, and I think I kind of said all of them, or just about all of them, and I just couldn't get them right. But the first ones, I kept saying over and over. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is he, blessed is she, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile or deceit. And I just kept coming back to those ones. You know, the first two, I knew how to place those. And I thought of the words that are used for sin. Transgression, sin, iniquity. And then, what God does with sin. And it was such a blessing to me to think of those things. Transgression. There are shades of meaning there when you read transgression, sin, and iniquity. And it's good to think about them. When you read transgression in this place, it speaks about turning aside from God in rebellion against his holy standard and his revealed will. There's a rebellion. These are acts of disobedience. That's what transgressions are. Disobedience to God's holy law, or disobediences, for we have all committed transgressions. In the plural, have we not? But it says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. And then whose sin. There the word sin speaks of coming short of God's glory, or missing the mark, as we so often hear. if you shoot your arrow at the target, you know, you want to get the bullseye. And seldom, unless you're a good archer, do you actually hit the bullseye. And sometimes, when you point your arrow and you let it go, you don't even get halfway to the target. Well, that's the idea. That's not good. Sin is not good. Missing the mark, coming short of God's standard, of God's requirement for us. Thrice holy God, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the iniquity that we read about is the corruption of our heart, the wickedness of our human hearts. So transgression, sin, iniquity. And then what does God do about those? In Psalm 32, David testifies that our transgressions are forgiven. Our sin is covered, and the Lord does not impute iniquity to us. That's a negative, isn't it? But he doesn't hold our iniquity against us. He doesn't count us as iniquitous, even though I'm as iniquitous as anyone ever was. He doesn't hold that against me. He doesn't count me as vile. So he forgives my transgressions. That's something like when the burden was loosed from off of Pilgrim's back. God forgives. He pardons our sins. And he covers our sins. We think of the broken law in the Ark of the Covenant. And then the lid that covered. There was the mercy seat. There was the blood sprinkled, covering the broken law. Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He is the propitiation for our sins. Does God just overlook our sins? Can a thrice holy God say that didn't happen just like that? No. This gift was won at awful cost. Propitiation for the lost. My substitute for me, Christ died and turned God's wrath from me aside. That's what Paul says when he quotes David in Romans 4. It's not a negative there. It's not that he doesn't impute iniquity, but is that he imputes righteousness apart from works. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. But blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman. Transgressions are forgiven. Sins are covered. Iniquity is not imputed. God doesn't count us as people that are wicked and corrupt and vile, because Christ is our righteousness and we are justified, as we just read in Titus, the goodness of God, the goodness and the loving kindness of God, our Savior toward man appeared. He saved us not by works of righteousness which we have done, but because he is merciful, he washed us, he justified us, he renewed us, he sanctifies us, he poured out his Spirit upon us, that we, being justified by his grace, might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God is so good to me. So I had this little feast this morning driving up the Northway trying to remember Psalm 32 and getting stuck there at the beginning. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, but rather he imputes righteousness, Christ's righteousness, apart from works. God is so good. He is so good to me. And I thank him today that Jesus is my Savior, and Christ is my righteousness. And so God looks upon me and he justifies and he sanctifies and he renews. And I like that phrase there in Titus that I read that says he poured out his spirit abundantly upon us. So his goodness is tied up there with his generosity, and we are justified by his grace and made heirs. Heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Praise the Lord. God is so good to me, and he has revealed that goodness to me in giving me a Savior, a wonderful Savior, who has taken my sins and my sorrows and made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Praise the Lord.
Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
It's 465. Stand as we sing.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on
Sing together that chorus, unto him that hath loved us and washed us from sin. Unto him be the glory forever. Amen. Oh, Jesus.
Unto him who hath loved us and washed us.
Something that we should never forget the day that the Lord washed us in his precious blood. My brother Eddie mentioned how the burden rolled away. That burden of sin. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And that blood can be applied to our hearts day by day to keep us clean, to wash us anew and afresh. And so, Lord, we come to you this morning. We come to that fountain that was opened at Calvary. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, bring us under your precious blood this morning. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, we only can stand before you because of the blood of Jesus, who entered in to that most holy place, heaven itself, on our behalf. Thank you, Jesus, that you have made the way, that you have opened up that way. And we enter in this morning by faith. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Give us a new sight of our great King, our great Savior. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.